Hi, everyone. Welcome to the MyFit podcast, hosted by fitness coach, business owner, and CrossFit Games athlete DJ Hillier. Physical fitness and podcasting are two of his life passions, and his goal is to train, educate, and inspire those who want to improve their general health. These podcasts are designed to help everyone, from the occasional gym member trying to improve their overall wellness to the fitness enthusiast. The episodes capture a wide spectrum of topics, including training, coaching, nutrition, entrepreneurship, relationships, and mindset. Follow the show on Instagram at TheMyFitPodcast and subscribe to his newsletter at DJHillier.com. So let's get to it.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the MyFit Podcast, fueled by Ascent Protein. I'm your host, DJ Hillier, and this week I chat with Don Fletcher, owner of the Mentality Wad. And for those of you guys that know me well or have been following the show for some time, you know that I love talking about all things mindset training. And today was nothing short of amazing. It was a great conversation, and I'm so thankful that I was introduced to Don through a mutual friend, Brian Yolitz. Don has competed, for those of you guys that don't know, Don has coached more than a dozen CrossFit Games athletes and has helped many other driven individuals to championships, podiums, and elite competitions over the past 14 plus years. Don is a CrossFit Level 3 trainer, certified strength and conditioning specialist with a master's degree in kinesiology and a specialization in sport and exercise psychology. Don is a very passionate individual who loves helping others achieve excellence in their pursuits. Today, we talked about all things mindset training, how to have a sharper mindset and be more elite in whatever avenue you go down. And the first things we talked about were Don's background and how she got into mindset coaching. And we talked about how to create a better mindset needs to start with having awareness. And that really needs to be the first step if you guys are looking to create a better mindset. The first place to go to is having better awareness. And I think that's a topic that's easy to just say out loud. It's easy for me to tell you guys, hey, just have better awareness. But Don did a good job at giving some applicable examples for you guys to get started. After that, we talked about how to create clarity. And to me, some of the best performers in the world, we talked and referenced Matt Frazier. And when I think of people like Matt Frazier, I think of somebody who's very clear on his goals. You know exactly what he's doing, why he's doing it, when he's doing it. And having that clarity, I think, is super important when discussing and talking about high-level athletes. Then we talked about aligning your values, goals, and daily habits and how they kind of have a domino effect. And sometimes we miss out on these things and it can be harder to create decisions or make decisions because our daily habits, goals, and values aren't exactly in the exact straight line. That was a cool conversation. Then we talked about using language to improve your mindset. I'm really interested in this side of things as well, because I think when people think mindset, they want to think everything inside your head, internal thoughts and internal dialogue. Whereas what you say to others and what you're projecting out into the world is arguably just as important as the thoughts that's going on in your mind. Guys, I think you're going to love this show. I had an absolute awesome time talking with Don helping to improve my mindset and helping coach other people on mindset coaching. I think there's just a lot out there that maybe people don't realize or maybe they aren't as knowledgeable on. And Don just does a great job at spelling everything out and kind of framing it for CrossFit athletes specifically, since that's kind of her niche. So if you guys enjoyed the show, make sure to head over to iTunes and give a rating and review. Those help a ton. And I appreciate all those that you guys have given thus far. It's fun to read. Also, make sure to give Don a follow on Instagram as well and share this episode with somebody who could use a little bit of mindset coaching and training. So without further ado, let's welcome Don Fletcher to the MyFit Podcast. Don Fletcher, welcome to the MyFit Podcast. I'm so excited to have you on today. I've had numerous conversations with members at the gym who love following your programming and getting in touch with you and what you're doing right now on Zoom. And so I'm excited and honored to have you on the show today.
Thanks, DJ. Glad to be here.
Awesome. Cool. Well, for most of my listeners that know, mindset training and talking about mindset and the mental edge is something that has kind of become really popularized, I would say, as of recent, like in the last 3, 4, 5 years. And I think a lot of it is probably due to CrossFit, just kind of taking in that side of things. I think you can only do so much in the gym. Outside the gym, you really got to focus on what you're filling your mind with, how you're filling your day. So there's a lot of different things to unpack here. But I think first we got to start with you and how you got into specifically mental edge performance training. Was there a pivotal moment in your life where you're like, this is what I love to do?
Yeah, I like to think of myself as one of the OGs in that space, especially in CrossFit, because no one else at that time, about 10 years ago, was doing it at all. No one. Mm-hmm. There was, you know, little mentions of mindset and that the mental aspect was important. And you heard that being thrown around in the culture, but I'm like, this is a gold mine. Why hasn't anybody jumped on this yet? And so that's when I went all in about 10 years ago. But honestly, it was at some point in like junior high when I found out about sports psychology. And instantly I was just like hooked. I'm like, whatever this is, I want to know more about it. I love it. It's combining my two favorite things, psychology and sports. And I just couldn't even believe that something like that existed. And I wanted, my path was very clear, honestly, from a pretty young age playing sports and learning about sports psychology. I just kept thinking like, I don't know how this will pan out in my life or my career, but I want more of it. And this is definitely what I'm most passionate about. So ever since then, I just continued to get education and experience, honestly, because I loved it. And I knew that I would eventually be able to use that passion to help others. And so long story short, that's how it began. Mm-hmm.
And how did you find yourself in the CrossFit? I know that right now you're trying to expand a little bit more, but how did you find your niche in CrossFit and helping CrossFitters?
Yeah. So in about 2007, I was working at a global gym as a fitness director and a personal trainer. And one of my friends from high school, her husband was in the military, and she messaged me and said something about, my husband's away, he's on deployment, and he's doing this thing called CrossFit. I want to start doing it at home so that when he comes back, we have something to do together. Mm-hmm. Do you know anything about it? And I said, I have no idea. I'll look it up. I'll tell you if it's legit and I'll get back to you. So I looked it up, and again, like anybody else, went down the rabbit hole, found actually a local CrossFit affiliate at the time, which was the first one in Maryland, in Baltimore, outside of Baltimore. And it was right down the street from where I was working at the global gym. So I was like, I'll go over there. And when I popped over there, I was like a kid in a candy store. I was like, what is this? I'm working at this global gym all day and this exists like right down the street. So I started sneaking away on my lunch break to go down there and be part of it. And they let me come on as an assistant coach, even though I didn't have my L1 at the time, just because my experience and my passion for it. So I started just getting plugged into CrossFit and the culture and the community. And obviously I just wanted more of that. And so I left Maryland to come out to San Diego State to get my master's degree out here, and also knew that that would really be helpful in me getting plugged in with the CrossFit community. And that was in about 2008, and started working at a CrossFit gym out in San Diego, got my master's degree. And after that, I was like, again, no one is talking about this quite how I want to. And my worlds were all colliding. It was like CrossFit, yes, sports psychology, awesome, performance. And why not just start putting content and putting tips out there? So in 2012 or 13, I started my blog at mentalitywad.com and just every day for a year put tips out there until it gained traction. And I guess here we are, like,
here we are today,
10
right?
years later, and I don't know, everything's still evolving, and it's been a cool journey.
Very cool. Awesome. What a cool experience. And I think mindset, the word mindset, is almost turning into a little bit of a buzzword. You hear it a lot. When you hear the word mindset, where does your mind go? What do you think first?
Yeah, I think that's just a general catch-all term, mindset. Mm-hmm. Your overall thoughts, beliefs, perceptions. I think that that's why it's so frequently used. It's just because it's a catch-all, and it can really mean anything that you're feeling, experiencing, or thinking inside.
Mm-hmm. And what are some things that, as you're working with CrossFitters specifically, we have a lot of CrossFitters listen to the show. What are some things you're helping them through? I think the sport, people that know the sport, is it's mentally demanding. It really is. You're not going in and you're not going through a easy ride if you're a competitor, right? You're going to go through pain. You're going to go through injuries, you know, a lot of mental struggles. What are some things you're trying to pick apart when it comes to CrossFitters specifically?
I really look at it. There's two main parts to it. One is the mental performance for sport part of it. So getting them ready, prepared for events, helping them build their confidence, working on strategies for training when they're not feeling great or for focus. So the mental performance part of it is really handling the sport aspect of it. And then there's the personal growth aspect, which is just general mental development for building character and building awareness about their own, you know, themselves and how they can continue to improve as a person outside of the sport. And it's really both parts of that are equally important. I put a lot of emphasis on personal development because I truly believe that you can't compartmentalize. I'm an athlete when I'm at the gym, and I'm a husband when I'm at home, and I'm working when you're one person, right? And so your thoughts and your beliefs carry over into different environments and atmospheres. And so working on yourself and your personal development for me is always at the forefront of our conversations. And then we break that down into different, again, areas depending on where they are in the season, I guess.
Right. And that makes so much sense to me, because I imagine if you don't have your beliefs and systems and everything set when you're at home, how's it going to happen at the gym? We were talking off air just for a second about how when you're at the gym for an hour of the day, right, there's 23 more hours that you're at home. And so I know, too, I've heard, you know, like Comptrain and Ben Bergeron, I reference him a lot on my shows, but something that he talks about was that he wants to make or create good people and they turn into great athletes. And that's kind of his mantra. Talk to me a little more about what that looks like, creating the personal side first. And I think, but interestingly enough, I think people want to jump to the sport stuff perhaps. And they want to talk about that because that's where their mind is at. But tell us a little about what are the misconceptions, to dive in a little bit more about what that means.
Yeah. People usually contact me because they want to be better performers. That's the motivator. Right. I want to get to sanctionals or at the time regionals or the games or whatever. And so they have a performance goal that they know I'm able to help with because of, again, my background and experience. And yet when they first come to me, our initial conversations are not about performance. Our initial conversations are generally about helping them improve their self-awareness, learning about themselves as a person, learning about their tendencies, habits, thought processes. So I ask a lot of good questions so that I can get to know the individual, of course, but also that they can get to know themselves. And so again, we start with those pillars of who are you? Like as a person outside of your sport, who are you? How do you show up in these different environments that you're in throughout the day? What's important to you? What are your value structures? What are your belief structures? And most people don't know what those are. They may have done a little bit of work around that through some personal growth reading or through some online courses that they have taken. But until someone can answer those statements really concisely, like quickly, hey, what belief most guides how you want to live your life? What are the five attributes that are most important to you? Mm-hmm. Like, what? I don't even know. Mm-hmm. Right. So let's get clear on some of those. Like you said, those pillars before we move into, because not only once I know the person better, but once they know themselves better, we're going to have so much more value, I guess, to build off of. And I'm going to be able to know what strategies to give that person, how to coach that person whenever the going gets tough or we are trying to qualify for that competition.
Mm-hmm. I've heard you on numerous podcasts say the idea that the mindset training needs to start with awareness, and you kind of just touched on it there. And it's one of those things where if you don't take the time to ask yourself those questions or kind of understand a little bit about that, like if you don't do it and you don't hire somebody like you, you might never go through that time, and then you're going to miss out on that whole thing. So I think before we even get started down this whole idea of mindset or improving your mindset, I think awareness has to be first.
Yeah, it's an ongoing process. Just like you said, becoming aware of ourselves now is going to look different than in 6 months from now. So it's cool. It's fun. It's just like any part of sport, there's continuous development in it, right? Your snatch is never like, oh, I got it. It's ongoing development, ongoing practice. And so is mental training and personal development. As we evolve as people, we can continue to learn and grow and find out more about ourselves and what stage we're in. Mm-hmm. And that's really important when you talk about working with long-term athletes. And that's the goal of our sport. That's the goal of this style of training, right? Is that you can do it to not only prolong your life, but also that you can do it for life. Mm-hmm. And so I've worked with some clients for 5 to 8 years and their goals have drastically changed. They've evolved as individuals. And it's really cool that we can continue to work through different processes and drills and conversations together that enable them and myself to have just greater understanding and awareness about people in general.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there. I think with being more aware, if somebody's listening to this, they're like, well, how can I become more aware? Like, where do I start? What are some things that they could do? Is there some things other than hiring a coach or hiring somebody? What are some things you could do to be just start bottom fundamentals, become more aware?
Absolutely. Simple things, just like having stillness in your day. You know, we hear about it all the time with meditation, but just being still and quiet, you can call it meditation, you can call it whatever you want, but for 3 to 5 minutes at a time to just listen to what's going on within you is a big step. Journaling obviously is super helpful, getting your thoughts out. Having prompts for those journal questions is helpful for a lot of people who say, Dawn, I don't know what to journal about. I sit there with my page and my pen and I'm like, what the hell? Try to write what's on your mind. And also if you have some prompts, it's really helpful. So there, I have a journal prompt download out there, and there's a lot of places you can get those types of things online. But books, podcasts, journaling, meditation, anything where you're either listening to what's going on or you're being prompted to think further about your own thoughts and your own mindset is helpful.
And that's something that I've been trying to work on. My girlfriend's trying to get me to become more still and become more quiet. And I'm a person that I love to have podcasts in the background. I like to be on podcasting is kind of my life. And so for me or for her, she's trying to get me, 10 minutes of just silence and just let yourself kind of sit in your thoughts. And for some people, for her, it's like, I need to have this. She starts her morning that way. And for other people like myself, it's like, oh my gosh, I need something to be in the background. So it can be a challenge for some. Other people might be like, dude, like this should be easy. But for a guy like me, it's much more difficult.
Absolutely. And that's where the value is, because with the discomfort, there's growth. And so for me, it was really uncomfortable at the beginning too. I'm like, I could be doing something else, or I could be using this time wiser at the time, what I thought. But once the practice became consistent, like your girlfriend says, it's now integral. I mean, I spent 15 minutes before this call, literally with everything off in silent meditation, just to get myself centered and grounded before I hop on and do something that's important to me. And that goes along with prayer to me and my spiritual life too. That's a big tie in to me as well with personal development and awareness, is just acknowledging what I want help with and acknowledging what I want to give thanks for.
Mm-hmm. Oh, very cool stuff. When you talk about, you touched on it for a second about goal setting, and I'm curious on when it comes to mindset training, I think goal setting can be something that can be kind of misconstrued, right? People don't know how to set the right goal, or maybe what I see a lot is people get stuck on a number, right? Like I want to clean 300 pounds. It's very like hard. And this is what I want. And this is a specific number. Tell me about how you walk through goal setting with CrossFitters specifically.
Yeah, again, we could probably spend an hour on that, right? But we try to get, first of all, clear, what do you truly desire? What do you want? I always say cast a big net. What do you really want? And then what are you hoping that will bring you? So if you want that 300-pound snatch, nothing against that. That's fucking badass, right? But what are you hoping that 300-pound snatch is going to bring you in your life or in your sport? Is there a certain feeling that you're actually going after of accomplishment or acknowledgement or worth or value? Or are you hoping that 300-pound snatch means that you will finally, again, make it to whatever level you're trying to get to? So get clear on the goals and what your true desires are, not what someone else maybe believes is good for you or what your gym culture is telling you, but what do I really want? Like, what excites me? What am I passionate about? What's driving me? And then what am I hoping that will bring me in my life? That's a question. That's a follow-up question. I don't think many people go there. Yeah. But if you're really seeking worth or value or appreciation or some of those feelings, there might be another way to get those without accomplishing that 300-pound snatch or whatever that number goal is. Mm-hmm. And that's where a lot of the deep coaching starts to get rolling.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Because I could see, and I have seen where an athlete will, I'll coach them through something like the Granite Games or a big level competition. And this is what they've been training for. And we've been working towards this. And then when it's over, they're like,
underwhelmed, right?
And they feel almost empty. And I'm the coach and I'm like, you did it.
That's
like,
awesome.
Awesome job, right? And it's almost like, I don't know if they were expecting more, expecting different, or maybe it's because they didn't do as well as they had imagined, but it almost seems like they're missing some self-fulfillment in a way or something like that. Or can you talk a little bit about, have you experienced that before where the buildup was bigger than the actual event?
You are spot on. Yes. I think we all have personally. And then if you are a coach or you've been a coach for a little while, you've experienced that with the athletes you coach. And it can be a struggle, right? It can hurt. It can be tough. It can be hard because you're building for so long towards something that you believe that they want or that you want. And then you do it and you're like, womp womp, like what? But then you look back maybe and you say, maybe the process of that with my coach was so much fun. And that was actually where the fulfillment came from. And all those trials and errors that we worked through. And that's where I think people can begin to appreciate the process of it. And yet I think it's really important that we get clear with each other about what does success and failure look like to us before we even begin that journey, right? Mm-hmm. What is success to you is going to be different than what it is to me. And how we define that in our sporting careers, our fitness journeys is going to look very different for each of us, depending on where we are in our lives. Success to a lot of people is, they may think that it's measured in numbers, like this, achieving this specific movement goal or the specific big performance goal, but most of the time it isn't. Most of the time it's different than that. And I think if you can get clear on that before you begin that process or as you're starting that process, it's really key to your overall satisfaction.
Mm-hmm. And so if we were to look in more specifically, let's say the 300 pound snatch is something that's a goal. And I say that to you. So what types of things would you say to me to help me kind of either redirect or dive in a little bit deeper? How would you attack something that's very like constructive, like very like numeric?
I would say awesome. I would say that's a great goal. I'd find out more about what you've been doing to reach that, where you are currently in relation to that. I would find out about, you know, your plan, your progressions and things like that. But I would start by asking you, why does that matter to you, DJ? Mm-hmm. Like, cause it's fun. Cause mm-hmm. it's badass and it's fun. And that could be enough. Okay. And again, I'm not trying to say that there's always like a deeper level. I'm just trying to say, make sure you understand your motivations behind what you're trying to do. And mm-hmm. sometimes it is strictly fun. Like I go surfing for fun. I don't need a specific goal. Like that's totally cool. That drives me. That excites me. And so for some people, snatching is just fun. I'm like, enjoy the hell out of it. You know, let's make sure we keep it fun for you, because I'm sure if you start to lose the fun and enjoyment around it, it's not going to be as appealing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also think when you look at some of the highest performers and some of the biggest, like when I think mindset and CrossFit, it's easy to think of Matt Frazier, right? He's not only the best, but he's very dialed in, and it doesn't take long for to be around him. And that name comes to mind. But I think what he demonstrates so well about having a high performing mindset is clarity. I think there's so much clarity in his life, and he has the luxury, of course, to wake up and the food is ready, and then he trains, and everything is so dang rhythmic. And I think that is huge for high performers. Tell me a little bit about how does being aware, so we got awareness. I think clarity kind of comes next, and please excuse me if I'm wrong. How can we become more clear and clear in what we're doing?
Again, it builds off of awareness. He's highly aware. I know that he's done a lot of work, a lot of personal work within himself. Mm-hmm. From where he was 10 years ago to where he is now. And he speaks about that little bits on podcasts about his journey, overcoming alcoholism, moving into relationship, getting out of the work that wasn't satisfying to him, moving into something that was more pleasurable, something that was different than weightlifting, his process from switching from weightlifting to CrossFit. So this guy is really aware, and he's put in the time on his self-awareness and personal development. And he continues to, I know that that's something that is the forefront of what's important for him as an athlete, is continuing to read and be around people that challenge him so that he can become very clear on what he's doing, why, who he wants in his group. And a lot of that is he's a simple guy. He's a minimalist in a way. I don't want to call someone something that he might not call himself, but you know what I mean? He keeps it's important to him to, I think, keep things really simple in a way that allows him to have those structures that do support his passion and his goal.
Yeah.
Also, he loves it. Like if he could choose to do anything in the world, he'd be in his basement training by himself or doing, you know, whatever with Tia, with Sammy, with his crew. And you can see that, and it's very apparent. And so he knows what works for him, but I do think that it's a testament to the amount of personal awareness work he's done over a course of a long period of time to get to where he is. So yes, clarity, I do believe, is important, but I think that, again, you don't just get there randomly and sporadically. You get there through intention.
Yep. I think that's so true. And also with the clarity, he doesn't have very many distractions, and that's very important too. Where if we kind of take a zoom out to your just general, fitness enthusiast, right, who's still trying to become the fittest that they can, or they're pursuing their own goals. I think there's something to learn from that, where I know he doesn't have kids and he doesn't have other obligations that some family members do, but trying to eliminate those distractions has got to help the clarity. Have you ever kind of dealt with people, worked with people that just, you know, they have a desk just full of shit and you got to be able to just kind of narrow it down? How's that process look?
Absolutely. And for someone like himself, he may put himself in that position because he believes it's in his best interest. For somebody else, they may say, a significant other and kids actually helps my cause. It gives me purpose. It gives me more value. And so let's remember that not everybody is the same in this process. Mm-hmm. Everyone is going to hopefully do their best to create the type of environment that they know is going to support them, whatever that looks like. And again, that we get there through understanding ourselves and through understanding our values and our priorities. But absolutely, focus strategies and making sure that, again, after you're clear on what you want and how to get there, is that we begin a process of saying, it's not about just doing more. It's about probably what we can remove, eliminate, or do less. Mm. And until I think that's the first conversation I have, isn't everyone comes to me and says, like, I want to do more of this. I want to do more gymnastics work and more mobility work and do better with my diet and do better with my sleep and do better with my mindset. It's like, yeah, we all want that. That's great. What can we remove from your plate? What can we eliminate, minimize, or reduce to make it more likely that you can put time and energy into those things? Because we all only have a certain amount of time in a day, mm-hmm. and we all only have a certain amount of energy in our fuel tank. And so it can't all just be about pulling our energy and doing things that require more of ourselves. We also have to refuel, restore, rejuvenate, and things like that. And so again, to be at the level that a lot of people I think want to be does require a lot of time and energy. So what can we remove or eliminate? Or maybe what can we just change in the structures of our day-to-day life so that we're able to give more to the pursuits that matter most to us.
Mm-hmm. And whether it works for him, works for other people, but I like what you said about being simple and like a minimalist. And I remember you talked about this on your conversation with Michael Cashew, and it was the idea of essentialism and minimalism and how that, given the right person, that can really help a lot. And talk to me a little bit about how you can become more minimalist and what does that kind of mean to you and how does that work for your clients?
So most people, when they think of minimalism, they're thinking about stuff. They're yep. thinking about the amount of possessions that they have or yep. accumulate. And that is a part of it. It's a portion of minimalism is looking at the stuff that you have. Does it serve purpose? Does it bring me joy? Those are the two questions that we can typically ask, and we can begin to get clear on our stuff. But it's far more than that, right? Our clutter is also within our electronics, for example, our computer screens, our phone screens, our social media feeds. And again, beginning to get clear on what is pulling from my energy or what is maybe serving as a distraction in my day-to-day life mm-hmm. that I can get clear on. Okay, if I'm constantly checking this on my phone or on my computer, every time I open it up, something is distracting me, my messages pop up, my notifications, what can I do to begin to cut back on or eliminate sure. those things? Or can I go through, I think the easiest way for me, it's kind of like the all-in way, is just eliminate it for a period of time, totally eliminate it for a period of time. That's what I've done with almost every single facet of my life over the course, you know, whether it's sugar, whether it's Whole30, whether it's a technology detox, whether it's 72-hour fast, whatever it is, I try it because I say I can remove it for a certain period of time. And then I get to see, was it really providing me with that much like value that I thought it was, or was it even as important to me as I was treating it? And so sometimes the easiest thing to do is just remove a lot of things from your life for different periods of time so that you can analyze their importance and their value. And then you can get clear on your relationship with those quote unquote things.
Yeah. Oh gosh, that's so interesting. And I think there's a lot of things that you maybe would suggest and somebody would be like, there's no way. Like,
of course.
You want me to shut off my phone for the day? Like, yeah. There's no way I'm going to do it. But that could create less distractions. And who knows? It could just offer some, you know, for me, when I train, I put my phone on airplane mode because yeah. It's more of like, I don't want to be able to be distracted, have the opportunity. My programming's on my phone. And so for me, it's just like, I just want to use this to look at what I'm doing for the day. And then this is my time to work on my time. So I think that's just one example of something that you can kind of help to totally. Become a little bit more focused.
Any of your spaces, anywhere, whether it's a space that you spend time in, like a car or your computer desk or wherever, looking at the spaces where you spend most of your time, start with those places. And I think this day and age, our phone and our computers count as one of those spaces.
Absolutely.
And so looking at those places that you spend most of your time throughout your day, either sitting at or being in or checking, and starting there with those places, a process of elimination and removing distractions. Every time we're doing something, just like you said, if I was talking to you right now and something popped up on my screen from a message or an alert, I would glance at it and I would pay what's called a switching cost. That means it's going to take me X amount of time to refocus back to your nice conversation, which is important to me right now. So I literally have like a paper with some notes on it and a candle within my sight, and that's it. And everything else, notifications off, my background is super clear, because I know that, again, those switching costs throughout the day are pulling away from my purpose and the present moment for what I want to give my energy to. So it takes a lot of time and effort to be a minimalist and to be an essentialist. Once you get those things set up, I think you're like, holy shit, this is awesome. Why didn't I do this earlier?
I also think too, like becoming like a bulletproof mind and having those things, like this shit takes a long time to do. And I think you would humbly admit that you're still not there, and you coach this stuff. This is your career. But so I think you're a testament to also say to people like, look, like you got to be humble about this stuff and know that it's going to take some time. You're not going to get this stuff overnight. It's not going to happen over the weekend, but little by little, I think it's understanding that. I like to say like, trust the process, love the process, enjoy the process, because that is what continues. That's just going to form us to where we want to be. It's not going to happen overnight.
Exactly. If we were all where we wanted to be, then what would we do?
Yeah, what would we be bored?
Like, okay, have everything, be everything, all my goals, done. I'm like, I don't want that type of life. Like, the pursuit is the fun, but I think there's a lot of reasons that people get caught up in those places. I know I have as well. I'm sure you have too, where you're like, wow, something isn't working here. This isn't fun. Like, I'm drained. I don't even know if I want this anymore. And it's unfortunate, but I think it's important for us to get to those points so that we can reevaluate and reassess and maybe bring somebody on board, like a coach or a teammate, that we can say, something's not working for me here. Help me out. And you're right. It's just an ongoing process. And I do think that you can actually find enjoyment and joy in the process of personal development and growth. Because again, if we all just had it, and it was just done. Like,
right. And it's a constant pursuit, right? It's not something that's going to be like, you have to work at it every single day. And I think like you mentioned some really small things like having a journal and creating some stillness. Like those are kind of your day-to-day things. And then I think those little wins are going to kind of add up over time. Is that kind of the lens you look at when you look at like long-term growth? You kind of got to take like little by little.
Absolutely. You have those daily things that you know help put you in a good mind frame, or at least assist you to some degree. And then you might have things that you do over the course of like a week or a month, or special things like ice baths or certain like grit work challenges, different things that you can put throughout your life. But absolutely, those small daily practices are the most important. They're your foundations.
Mm-hmm. Another thing too, when I think of people that have, I don't even know what you would call it, a high mindset or high performing mindset. Mm-hmm. When I think of those people, they have a lot of intent. They're very intentional about what they do throughout the day. If you ask them, why are you doing this? They have an answer for why they're doing it. They're not wasting their time. Tell me about where intention comes involved with being a high performer.
I love that observation and that question. I think a big part of it is getting, again, that clarity piece and being able to say, okay, before my day even starts, whether it was last night or in the morning, is getting clear on, here are the things that are most important to me and how I want to accomplish them. But I'm not someone who schedules out like every minute of my day. A big portion of my day is pretty scheduled. And then I have a lot of freedom because I know that helps offset some of my tendencies, my A-type tendencies. And so I think it's about just getting clear of, hey, here's what I'm going to do. And here's kind of the flow of what's important or the priorities. And then again, before each thing you do, there's a transition time from what I was doing last to being on this call. I took that time and I made sure I had like a buffer in my schedule that I had about 15 minutes I could spend in silence, write down my notes for this call, say a prayer and get on it. And so building in for yourself throughout your day, buffer periods so that you can transition, set intention, and then move to the next thing. Again, this seems crazy to some people. It's like anal, but really it takes a minute. It literally takes a minute from like getting out of the car to going to the gym. Just be like, why am I here? What's important? Go. Get out of the car, get home. Why am I here? What's important? Transition. And you can do this throughout your day in like 30 seconds as you transition from thing to thing. But I do think, again, I always come back to asking people, are your priorities in line with your goals? Are your goals in line with your values? So can you trace your habits back to your goals, and can you trace your goals back to your values? And to me, everything I do in life, and again, I'm privileged in this way, I recognize that I'm able to set up my life in a way that matches my values, and that if someone was watching me, they'd know exactly what my values are just by seeing a video of my day. I do think that's a huge privilege, and I recognize that daily. It's something I don't take for granted, that I'm able to live my life in that way. But I think a lot of us listening to this, or anybody who has the ability to even push themselves in the gym, can recognize that that's a privilege. That's a gift. And to be able to, again, set up your day in a certain way that reflects your values is definitely.
I love what you said about habits, goals, and values, and how they're a domino effect. Talk to me a little bit more about what that means. That's really awesome.
Just day to day, we have to start with the small. We have to start with the day to day. Day to day, is my life set up in a way that's helping me get closer to the goals that I have for myself. And I don't think just ourselves can assess that. I think we need good people in our lives to help us assess that and help us question that and to help call us out on things. But is my day-to-day life set up in a way that is helping me get closer to my goals? My habits or my priorities reflective of the things that are that I say I want to be able to do, right? And then are those goals that I set up for myself throughout my day or throughout my week, throughout my month, reflective of my values? But if we don't know what our values are, this doesn't work, right? Like, you don't know, I think and I feel and I'm not sure. But at the end of the day, I think a lot of people go to sleep and they're just questioning themselves, they're down on themselves because they didn't have clarity about that. And that's where the values, that's when we go back to, I guess, our initial conversation about getting clear with personal values matters.
So it needs to start with values, and then it goes to your habits, and then that leads to your goals. So on that continuum, like you said, if one of them is messed up, especially the beginning, like we have to start with values there. So when you have a new client, is that where you're starting, or is what are some things, or is the question very bland, like what do you value, or how do you find those core values?
Different ways with a variety of questions, because not everything hits or resonates with everybody the same way. But honestly, just through conversation. Like, I want to get to know people. I'm, you know, it's less like an interview. It's more like a casual conversation, share dialogue. Tell me your story. Tell me again, like some of your habits, your routines. And then I begin to ask questions about what do you do to get a sense of greater inner peace? What do you do for fun and enjoyment? When's the last time you experienced like joy and fulfillment? What does that look like to you? What does that feel like to you? Just those, again, that dialogue happens over time. It doesn't happen in like a 10-minute survey, right? But that's the in-depth work that quality like one-on-one sessions come from. I think you can do that in maybe informal ways throughout your life with people having those conversations and that dialogue and taking notes and being introspective. But surely those value conversations are the most important.
And would you say that the stronger or more anchored your values are, the easier the day-to-day and some of those things become? Because does that make sense?
Yeah. I would like to say that's more likely, but a lot of people do have challenges with distractions and with focus. And those are very real challenges that people have. And so I know a lot of people who are so grounded and so purposeful and intentional, and yet they struggle to carry out some of their day-to-day tasks because of some of either internal challenges or things that are kind of coming on them environmentally. I mean, you see a mom with three kids and she's a single mom and she runs her own business. These are real challenges, right? Like I'm very mindful to think that each person has unique things in their way that are going to keep them from living out this perfect high performance mindset. It's not necessarily that everything you do throughout your day is reflective of that. It's just, who am I being? How am I showing up? And does that feel good to me?
Right.
Most of the time, I'm going to fuck up. There's going to be things in my way. Like, there's going to be challenges and hurdles, but how do I want to show up in this life? How do I want to show up in this day? And if that's a question you haven't sat with today yet, I encourage you to do it every morning. How do I want to show up today?
Oh, very cool. I like that. And also I think too, like from a decision-making process to like somebody who struggles with making decisions, I think the more grounded or more anchored you are with the values and the habits, once a decision comes your way, I think it's like, this is what I mean. I look back at my values. Does this align? Yes, no. It could make that a little bit more easier. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, very cool.
And again, having those people in your life who know your values and who know how you want to show up, and then it's really easy to have those conversations. You say, hey, like this opportunity came up. What do you think? And they look at you and like, let's talk about this. Your value. Okay, cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just great to have those grounding individuals in your life who get you and who get where you're coming from so that they can support you in that type of decision-making.
Cool. One thing that I've recently thought about mindset, I've been trying to think of it more wider than just in the mind. I think I kind of look at it in three tiers, and feel free to disagree if this is not correct here, but I kind of think of it like three tiers. The first one's kind of your mind and your thoughts. And your second one is your actions and your daily habits, the way you live your life. And I think the third one is also your language. I think language plays a role in it. How you talk to others, how do you talk to yourself, things like that. Have you dove into language at all? And what are some things that you like to kind of spread knowledge on when it comes to having a better mindset via language?
Absolutely. I like how you broke that down. Yeah, it's an integral part of us understanding, having greater awareness about the words we use and why we potentially use them. So some common examples are like the words should, need, can't, have to, the mindset around like have to do all these things. stressed, hard, busy. People say these words a lot, and maybe they just say them again out of habit, but it's not necessarily that they're intentional about them. But I always question people. I'm like, tell me what you mean by should. Where's the pressure and expectation coming from? Where's the guilt coming from? Should to me is shame language, right? And I don't think that helps us flourish. So that's one example. Can't right now, can't yet, can't ever. What do you mean by that? Have to, do you have to press right now, or do you have to do extra accessory work? I don't think you do. I think you can go home. Again, so giving people the understanding that yes, language is powerful, and the way you speak both to yourself and to others can carry a lot of weight. Even if you're doing it in a way that feels to you just like habitual, I think we get in these patterns that we don't maybe understand are really limiting us and or are affecting others.
And being the coach that I am and being surrounded by so many people for 7-8 years, I have run into people, Don, who think they are high level and they have a good mindset and they have all these things, but the way they talk and you're like, like the way you speak is not reflecting on the things that maybe are in your mind or maybe the way you want to be. So I think language is something like you can't neglect that part, because that is, I mean, we are a society that hears, we listen. And if you're not speaking the language, I guess that you want to, that can really construct with the two other pillars of your actions and your minds and thoughts.
Yep, it sure can. And again, it's easy to judge that in other people, but most of the time they just don't know. Mm-hmm. And so again, like, it can be sensitive sometimes to be like, I try to keep it super lighthearted. I'm like, well, you just said like, we can't neglect that. Well, they technically can neglect that. Like, no one has to change their language, but if they might see there's a better option, like, oh, I actually want to be able to improve this in myself. I hear the way it sounds. And so take recordings of yourself on podcasts, take videos of yourself in the gym, write down things that you heard yourself say or that you heard others say. Awareness can go a long way in helping you educate yourself on maybe what doesn't sound so cool coming out of your mouth.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. I know this next question is very broad, but you being in the CrossFit space can relate to this. As CrossFit coaches that are listening to this, how can we improve the mindset of our athletes in the gym, whether we're coaching a class? I know that's very broad. There's a lot of different ways you could probably go about it, but is there something that you'd recommend that coaches can do to help improve the mindset of their athletes, like in a class?
Yeah, I think when it comes from coaches, I think it's really cool to be able to share what you're working on. I think that has a really great power to leading your class. It's not telling so much what they quote unquote should do or need to do, but just expressing, hey, this is something I've been working on, is setting an intention before each workout. Oh, so cool. When you look at this workout and it's 5 rounds for time, what I've been working on is saying, okay, not what time do I want to accomplish, but what do I want to work on within those movements? What are my process goals? Or maybe you say, hey, something that I've just been learning recently from these podcasts, this language is really important. So we're going to highlight the word can't today, and we're going to challenge you to. And so I love when it's a group activity, or when someone as a coach, because most of the time these individuals are looking up to their coach, right? They're wanting to know more about what their coach knows. So if you share what you're working on, I think that's a really powerful tool in helping others say, well, I want to work on that too. Instead of just telling them what to do, is kind of showing them what you're working on. And so I was always somebody, I don't coach CrossFit classes anymore, but when I did at the start, I was always someone who talked about like just a quick mental aspect part of it. And some people loved it and some people were like, eh, whatever. But sure, I think people began to appreciate it at the very least, that I was willing to give something different beyond just here's how to squat. Yes. And again, you can do that in 1 to 2 minutes just by sharing something that you've learned or something that you are learning. And I think that's really powerful, because then somebody could come up to you after and potentially be like, I want to know more, or like, that really helped.
Yeah. And at the end of the, yeah, like you said, you can do a good job at explaining how to squat and do those things. But like I said, that's really only going to help you when you're in the gym and you're lifting, you're working out. But if you can impact somebody throughout the day, I mean, gosh, that's life-changing stuff to try to help them, you know, how to be more self-aware, how to journal, how to do some of those things. I think that almost, I mean, arguably probably carries more value and merit than learning how to squat, right? I mean, that's just something that's going to be a little bit longer term. Very cool. Awesome. A lot of my listeners also are parents, and something that you do, I saw on your website, is you help athletes in their CrossFit competition. You can be there for them during the weekend. And I'm curious to know, as a parent who has a kid who is in a traveling sport, or maybe like what I envision is like an eighth grade basketball player who has a tournament, and they're playing multiple games throughout the weekend. How can a parent, guardian help to create better mindset, better conversations within something like an event, like a basketball tournament, a CrossFit Games event? What are some things that parents can do to help kind of be a little bit more in the right realm of improving the kids' mindset?
I would say number one is focus on enjoyment. It's all about helping your kid have a good time, whatever that looks like to your kid. Hopefully you know them to like at least a bit to know what's going to support them having a good time, mm-hmm. being with their friends, going out to eat, like, you know, all of the stuff that celebrates the fun and the passion around sport, that comes first. And so anything you can do to encourage the enjoyment. And then second is the learning, is the focus being on, how did you grow? What did you learn? Did you see what that other player did? How did you get better today? Whatever those questions are that stimulate learning, that obviously takes some of the focus off of the pressure and results, but it helps again build character when you're someone who's always going to be that growth-minded individual, and you can talk to your son or daughter or whoever about growth and how they're learning. I think that continues to help beyond them just in their sport.
Mm-hmm. Great advice. Tell me a little bit more about what you mean by growth and focusing on the growth versus what have you.
Right. Obviously, growth is going to be the type of questions like learning, anything related to the process of how that person, again, learned or got better. And outcome focus is going to be on the score. Or can you believe it? Or who did what? Or who didn't do what? Or did you achieve it? And it's very, again, it puts a lot of attention on the result and the outcome, which is not in our control. And it's certainly not in your kid's control. And so putting a lot of the conversation on the effort and the process and the factors that somebody can control, and then asking them afterwards, like, again, what'd they learn? How did they process that? What were the takeaways? That helps all of us, you know, mm-hmm. whether you're a youth or you've been doing it for 20 years, you're always going to get better when you learn. You're not necessarily going to get better simply by how you perform, but you're going to get better if you reflect on how you performed.
Yeah, I think that's the key. If you take the time to reflect on it, and that's when the learning and the growth happens, where sometimes our athletes, you know, we go back to like the Granite Games thing, they compete during the weekend and then they're done and they kind of feel this and there's no fulfillment, but then there really wasn't a reflection time. We're like, dude, what did you learn? Like you went through a great experience. What are you going to take away from the next time? Or maybe not in a competition setting, let's just say a daily WOD, right? They come in and work out and then they just leave. What did you take away from that? Was your rep schemes right? What did you take away? So I think a constant pursuit of learning is a big focus when trying to improve mindset. Would you agree?
The number one.
Yep.
The number one. And again, we all learn in different ways and different methods. And I encourage everybody to practice a variety of different methods in which you keep continuing to learn. But a simple way is just by, again, 1 or 2 minutes after your workout, hop on a bike, hop on a rower. What went well? What did I learn? What did I learn? Mm-hmm. And, you know, always being able to pull a positive from a workout. It sounds kind of like cheesy sometimes because people are like, oh God, positive, positive. I'm not talking about being positive all the time. I'm talking about being able to look back and say, what did I do well or what went well? And there is always something, even if it is just the fact that you showed up that day, mm-hmm. because that's a big challenge for a lot of people. And so we overlook a lot of things because we're constantly looking to how to perform better. And sometimes we begin to, overlook or underappreciate the fact that we're just being there and showing up is like gold, right? And so being able to always look at what went well, what did I do well, and then what did I learn?
I love that. What went well? What did I learn? What was the last one?
That's it.
Oh, what went well? What did I learn? I could see as a CrossFit coach,
right? Going around the room.
Yeah. If somebody's staying after class or they're getting their shoes out, like what a great question to ask at the end. And even if they're not thinking about it now, you forced them to think about it. So when they drive home, it's like, you know what? That did go well. I really like that. What went well and what did I learn? That can kind of, as a coach, it's very applicable. It's something you guys can take away and just start to implement into your classes. Very cool. One more question before we get to the final quick ones here. Tell me a little bit. I've scrolled through your Instagram, browse through, and I've seen a couple of times I've seen the word grit pop up, and it's a word I'm very curious about. Tell me, what is grit?
I think people, it's open to interpretation a lot of times, but I think grit is perseverance. I think it has a lot to do with staying in the discomfort or intentionally, again, putting yourself in those situations where you know you're going to be uncomfortable and practicing persevering. And so grit is kind of a fancy way of saying like strength or toughness. But mm-hmm. I think it's something that is built. It's not something that you have or you don't. I think it's something that you can create. It happens sometimes unintentionally because of life situations, and sometimes it happens intentionally by you being intentional about putting yourself into uncomfortable situations. But those who I think possess the strongest amount of grit have both had challenging things happen to them and continue to intentionally go after challenging things in their lives. This awesome. Is my long answer.
I like it. Cool. All right. We're going to go through the final five questions here. They're just kind of fun questions that I ask all my clients. So the first, my guests. It's been a long day. Let's see. Okay. First question is, what is one piece of advice that you would give to an 18-year-old kid who wants to be in your shoes someday?
Be brave and willing to do things that most other people wouldn't.
Cool. What is one book that you think everyone needs to read?
You might have got me there. Everyone needs to read. Mm-hmm. I don't know, something cheesy, maybe How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Nice. Good. That's a great one. Yeah, good one. Number three, if you had your own billboard, what would you want your billboard to say and why?
Be brave because you are a child of God, and be kind because so is everybody else. I think it speaks for itself. Being brave and being kind is, I think, what this world would benefit from a lot right now.
Especially right now. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Cool. Number four, if you were to have the chance to work out alongside anyone in the world, they must be alive, who would you work out with?
I have to say right now, Tia Claire, I think that she is the fittest person that we have ever seen mm-hmm. on this planet. Mm-hmm. And I think just being in the same space as her would be pretty special.
Yeah, she's amazing. Last question. What is something that you've learned during this quarantine time, this COVID-19, this whole crisis? What's something you've learned during this period of your life that's going to make you a better person or a coach, athlete, when it's all said and done? What's something you're going to take away now that's going to make you better in the long run?
I think for sure the fact that nothing is certain. And I think it's something that we all knew, but maybe didn't want to accept. We like certainty and we like to be able to know what's coming. Mm-hmm. But I think that I have for sure learned the fact that nothing is certain, and that how to get more comfortable with uncertainty. And I think that's a really important message for all of us to continue to work on practicing the fact that we don't know, and to get really comfortable with the unknown.
Right. And that's mindset, right? Like being flexible, being flexible enough to know, like, this shit could burn down and you got to be ready for whatever's
like,
next.
Really, it could burn down.
Yeah. And I think the most mentally sharp people out there, they have a backup plan, or they're not tied to it. Yeah. Or if the boat rocks, they're like, all right, like, sweet, man, let's figure it out. So that all ties into your whole mantra, and I love it. Awesome. Today, that was really cool, Don. Very insightful stuff. If somebody wants to follow you and kind of see what you're up to, get a part of your program, where can I point my listeners?
Yeah, thank you so much, DJ. Right now, mentalitywad.com. I am going through a rebrand, so stay tuned. But mentality_wad on Instagram. Don at mentalitywad.com. Hit me up if there's anything I can help you out with. I will be rolling out my new program that will allow everybody in the world to be doing daily mental training on an app cool. on their phone, which is going to be really cool for a low price point.
Yeah.
And I have a bunch of other stuff always in the pipeline. So
very cool. It was awesome to have you on today and finally meet you. You're somebody that I looked up to in the space, and I'm very interested in the mindset stuff. So thank you for taking the time. Guys, if you enjoyed the podcast, make sure to share it on your Instagram, tag Mentality Wad or a new name by then. We'll see what comes out, or tag myself, share it with a friend, guys. And we'll see you next week on another episode on the My Fit Podcast.